bounds.
Two beauties!
With William Quackenbush.
Slow your roll. The show goes till three, loser.
And Ben Milstead.
My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. Clemson's going to the Elite Eight!
Out of bounds.
The center fielder at the wall! It's out of here! It's out of here!
Got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy.
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Monday, December 8th, 2025. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Sam Jones. We are live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us on the phones or on the Adams Corving text line. And oh, what a day to join us. What a day it will be. I'm sure you all have thoughts, opinions, concerns, gripes, gloating. The Georgia fans that I've heard today on the station have been markedly respectful, really for no reason. I mean, you can gloat about what you just did, but they have been markedly respectful, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the marked respectfulness of the Georgia fans. If you want to be markedly disrespectful, feel free to do that today. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And nothing really matters until, you know, nothing really matters. Nothing we say matters, Sam, until the last segment. Nothing that we say for the first eight segments matters at all. Nothing we say matters to the last segment. That's my new show motto, because apparently that's how the world works. How are you, sir? Happy Monday.
I am great. I'm feeling good. It was a fun weekend. Up and down sports weekend for sure.
Up and down.
A lot happened.
Buddy, for both of us.
Busy weekend for everybody, it seems like, of every fan of every team this weekend.
Holy cow, man. I joked with Faxon yesterday off the air that if the state of Indiana had to sacrifice Daniel Jones's other leg, his one properly working leg, in order for the Hoosiers to be the number one seed in the Big Ten champs, I think people would probably take that trade.
Well, they did.
And they did.
Yeah. The high of Saturday was immediately brought down, because that's how football works. You don't get to be high too long.
They also lost by 20 to Louisville or whatever. In Gainbridge.
That wasn't overly surprising. Great. That one was coming.
It was not the worst loss that an Indiana team took on the hardwood on Saturday.
Not at all.
We got to talk about that. At some point in the next 3 days, we're going to talk about Purdue basketball, because that was a butt-whooping.
Can you frame it as Iowa State basketball instead? Because, boy, are they good.
They're real good. Really good. But you're doing okay. You're glad to be here.
I'm feeling great, man. It's a good day to have a great day. It's cold, and I feel pretty good.
Let's start with this. We are going to talk lots of college football playoff committee and the matchups and everything today. What is the best thing that you saw this weekend? Sam Jones.
I'm going to go with Indiana winning the Big Ten, because that is just so absurdly ridiculous that 13-0 Indiana won the Big Ten, ended up as the number one team in the college football playoff. It's awesome, because that type of thing just doesn't happen very often, and they've done it 2 years in a row. And the thing that I love about it is, after last year, I included, was still skeptical, and a lot of people were still skeptical of what Indiana was going to be long term. I thought they upgraded at quarterback. I thought there was a good chance Mendoza was the Heisman and number one pick. That's probably the only good prediction I've made in a year here. But I was still thinking that was probably an 8 or 9 win football team. And they came out and they beat Ohio State, which I didn't think they were going to do that. I didn't think that that was going to be a game that Indiana could control the pace of play and win it with their defense the way they did, even though they are an excellent defensive team. I thought Ohio State would beat them. So I would say that is the number one thing. And then I saw a tweet earlier today that I enjoyed just because it made me laugh. Kalani Sitake and Brent Key will be playing against each other in a bowl game, the Pop-Tart Bowl, the bowl. And after stating his preference for strawberry Pop-Tarts, Brent Key remained on the Pop-Tarts Bowl coaches video conference when Kalani Sitake spoke and stayed in there long enough to click on the clapping hands and party hat emojis when Sitake relayed that strawberry was also his favorite Pop-Tart. And then he left. So I would say that one, that got a chuckle out of me today.
I'm such a Brent Key homer, man. I really like that guy.
He's a funny guy. I can't imagine them sending Brent Key to put the Pop-Tart in the toaster or whatever they do at the end of that game. Just a ridiculous character.
Utterly ridiculous. Utterly laughable.
Sataki's funny, too. That's a fun matchup. If you're going to get the Pop-Tart Bowl, you got to get two coaches who are going to have fun with it. I think they both will.
Does Kalani Sitake have a clause in his contract that, like, instead of the Pop-Tart, he has to eat a crumble cookie if he wins? Or they dump the Pop-Tarts on him, but he immediately has to leave and be dumped by an equal or greater amount of crumble cookies?
I think there is a non-zero chance, yes, after last week. There is a non-zero chance that he has that in his contract.
That's what I'm thinking about here is just, brand loyalty because, he could be coaching the Pinstripe Bowl this weekend, if not for crumble cookie.
That's true. That is true.
Or at least observing.
Observing from afar is
spectator.
Ethan Grunkmeyer takes on Clemson.
We'll talk about that, too, and how that transpired yesterday. The best thing that happened this weekend was Indiana winning the Big Ten. And I want to get this out there right now. I said Saturday could be the greatest day in it could be the greatest day in the history of Indiana athletics, potentially. They've won national titles. It wasn't gonna be the greatest day because they are the most recent unbeaten national champion in men's college basketball, 1976. And so that would be the best day. In fact, Fred Cunningham, great Hoosier, friend of the show. Fred Cunningham said 76 would be it, but we didn't really know at the time the significance. Because there had been some unbeaten champions, but I mean, they were just the latest one. It turns out it's been almost 50 years and nobody has done it. So on the men's side. So that in hindsight, historically, that was a very special moment. But they hosted, the state of Indiana, the city of Indianapolis hosted two Indiana sporting events. They did get worked by Louisville. Louisville is quite good, by the way. Really good. Well, they scored the first 16 of the game, I think. And then basically Indiana played them even after that. But when you spot a team 16, you're probably not winning that game. Just going to throw it out there. And they got it to 7-6, whatever, 8. That was just close. And it really was. I mean, they were never going to win the game. So that didn't transpire. But what happened on Saturday night with Indiana football is, I believe, it's the most remarkable thing that's happened in sports. And just to underscore how remarkable the turnaround has been, Tom Allen in 2019, I'll never forget this. Remember when Indiana played? We don't remember a lot of bowl games these days. But they played an overtime bowl game with Tennessee in 2019. And it was a knockdown, drag out. I believe it was overtime. Knockdown, drag out, Gator Bowl. I think it was a Gator Bowl.
It was indeed the Gator Bowl.
And they lose that game. And if they had won that game, they finished the season ranked. And it would have been the first time since 1988 and just the third time since 1967 that Indiana would have finished the season ranked in the top 25. Tom Allen got them to 24. It was the first time they had been ranked in any poll since 1994. 25 years between rankings in a poll. One time, 1 week, they had not been ranked. They didn't go to bowls. They never went to bowls. They went to several bowls under Bill Mallory. 1993, they went to the Independence Bowl. And then it was 2007, Bill Lynch. It was a 2015 Pinstripe Bowl, and then it was a 2016 Foster Farms Bowl, which ironically was Tom Allen's first game. So Indiana doesn't go to bowls. Like, it wasn't like Indiana was 6-6, 7-5, and Kurt Cignetti came in and took them to 12-2. What Kurt Cignetti has done going 24-2 at Indiana and having Indiana as the number one seed in the preseason in two seasons is the most remarkable turnaround in the history of college football. I'm sorry, it is. Like, if you want to argue with Kansas State, Bill Snyder, that's great. I'll hear that because that was a remarkable turnaround, and he did it over an abundance of time in a different era. But, like, I had a couple people on Twitter when I said that. I was like, people were like, well, I mean, these aren't his recruited people. Well, did they get there by carrier pigeon? I mean, who got the players there? Furthermore, a lot of the players did stay. Like, Tom Allen recruited a lot of the players. Tom Allen's last three teams post-COVID, where he had a lot of staff turnover, like, there were a lot of things there. I don't blame Tom. They went 9-27 combined over a three-year period. 9-27 combined over a three-year period. Kurt Cignetti comes in. They're 24-2. They beat freaking Ohio State. They're going to the college football playoff for the second time, and they won the Big Ten. A Big Ten that boasts Ohio State and Oregon, two other top five teams. Indiana won that league. This is the losingest program in college football history. They have the most losses in the history of college football. Their all-time win percentage is like 420. They lose 58% of the time historically. Kurt Cignetti is 24-2. It's a remarkable thing. My sister sent a video of at my parents' house. She was at my parents' house, and of my her and my parents watching the last few seconds. And my dad's like, he's emotional because that is not something that's supposed to happen. Like, we're going to talk about a lot of things that could have happened and maybe should have happened but didn't happen. The thing that couldn't happen is Indiana win the Big Ten. The thing that couldn't happen is Indiana be ranked at the end of a season. You realize Indiana has been ranked in a postseason poll four times since 1967. No coach has done it twice, even been ranked in an AP poll twice in their whole tenure. Nobody has done it. Kurt Cignetti is going to do it in 2 years, and they're going to be top 10 both years in the AP poll. It is a miraculous, remarkable turnaround, and the way they did it. Ohio State didn't fumble eight times. They didn't commit 15 penalties. There was no Indiana player that played the game of his life. They just lined up and won the game, Sam. They just lined up and won the game. They were just better than Ohio State. They put Julian Sain in jail defensively. They made enough plays offensively. I will remember for the rest of my life Mendoza's pass on the slot fade right down the seam with a gotta-have-it first down to win the game to Becker. If you're an Indiana fan out there, you're going to remember that for the rest of your life. A remarkable, remarkable accomplishment. And in my opinion, the greatest turnaround in the history of college football. We'll never see it. We'll never see it again. There have been so many teams that have taken over downtrodden programs that got them a little better. Or, you know, considerably better. But nobody has ever done at any school what Kurt Cignetti has done. Nobody has ever done it, and nobody will do it again. It's remarkable.
What I absolutely loved about this game on Saturday night was that it felt like while you were watching it, this was the biggest game of the entire season. And it didn't have playoff stakes the same way the SEC championship may have had going into the game, the same way the ACC championship did. But you could clearly tell you were watching the two best football teams on the planet. I think that was apparent. This was a game Ohio State has played in 400 kabillion times. They've been here before. They know what it's like to have every single eyeball on the face of the college football planet watching you, hyper-analyzing everything you do. They know how to line up and win a grit-and-grind, yucky football game like they did on Saturday with the whole country watching. Indiana's never been in that spot. That's not a spot Indiana football has ever been in. They looked completely unfazed. They looked incredibly prepared for the game. They looked like they knew they were the better team. They lost their best offensive weapon, Omar Cooper, on like the fifth play of the game.
Yeah.
Fernando Mendoza got lit up on the first play of the game.
Gah.
And Alberto had to come into the game for a play. Guys were getting hurt. They didn't care. Mendoza came back in the game, had a fantastic game. The stats aren't gaudy. He was unbelievable in that game. Against that defense, an NFL defense, under pressure consistently, giving his receivers chances, and in the end of it, did exactly what he needed to do down the stretch every single time they called upon him to win the game, without his number one receiver.
It was not like Indiana gets up 17-0, just blitzes Ohio State, and then survives. That's not what happened. They just line up and won the game.
And that's what Ohio State wants, is a low-scoring game against Indiana where they slow down that offense with the Heisman quarterback, and they make them win on the ground, and they make them win in ugly fashion. Teams don't beat Ohio State that way. They haven't done it this year. Ohio State has won some games where their offense has looked mediocre, and their defense has been so good that it hasn't mattered. Their defense was so good in this game that it didn't matter. Indiana's was better. That's terrifying. It's terrifying what Cignetti's done in 2 years here. And for what it's worth, Indiana's got money. People don't realize it because they suck, and they've sucked for so long. Indiana has a lot of money that they can spend on this football program, and they're going to keep making more, and I don't see any reason why Cignetti would leave.
They did decide to support football, which that's a huge part of this, that they decided they were going to support football. One of the things that hurt Tom Allen, we'll go to break and we'll get to these phone calls on the other side of the break, because I know we got a couple people holding here. One of the things that happened with Tom Allen, I've said this for years now, Tom Allen hired so well at Indiana that all of his assistants would leave every year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a staff with Kalen DeBoer on it. That same staff had Mike Shanahan, who's the OC now, was on that staff. You had, oh my God, why can't I think of the guy's name? The DC at Alabama. Why can't I think of his name? Give me that one, Sam. He was the DC for Allen went to South Alabama.
Was it Kane Womack?
Kane Womack, yeah. Kane Womack was his DC. Mike Hart, who then went to the Michigan staff as was the associate head coach.
His quarterback was Michael Penix.
Michael Penix was his quarterback. Like, no wonder they were ranked. But Tom Allen couldn't keep those assistants because Indiana would not pay to keep those assistants. They didn't have the money to be able to do it. Now, Kurt Cignetti can keep the assistants. In fact, he was asked about losing assistants. He said, I doubt it because we're willing to pay to keep them. Like, for head coaching jobs, they're willing to outpay some people. There's a reason that Tom Allen and Brian Haynes were the two names that I put atop my defensive coordinator wish list for Clemson last year. That guy can freaking coach football.
And if they do lose a coordinator, no coordinator's not going to want to go coach there. That's where you want to go coach right now. They can get just about anybody they want at that point.
We'll go to the phones. We'll have you guys up with us next. 654 Roars, the number, plenty to say about the playoff. Oh, man, do we ever. Hour one continues after this.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at UpstateStripes.com.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Race with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Whether it's our famous glazed or one of our specialty donuts, we have something for everyone at work or at home. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Attention student athletes. Don't let injury or surgery keep you on the sidelines longer than it should.
Get back in the game faster with Ortho Laser Spartanburg. Our state-of-the-art FDA-approved laser therapy is the strongest on the market, designed to reduce swelling, relieve pain, and speed up recovery. And now, with special student pricing, there's no better time to heal smarter, not harder. Whether you're in high school or college, Ortho Laser is here to help you return to peak performance. Visit our website, recoverwithlight.com. Get back in the game with Ortho Laser Spartanburg.
Do you hate brown or dead-looking turf in the winter? At Carolina Top Dressing, they can turn your lawn into the beautiful summer green lawn everyone loves with their turf painting service. Also, now through winter is the best time to amend your soil and establish healthy roots. Ask about the soil conditioning program to get this done. Mention you heard this ad on The Roar, and you can save 10% off any of our services. Call today, 864-999-SAND, or visit Carolina Top Dressing. To get a free quote.
Electrical components are out of sight and out of mind, but hidden dangers can lead to melted components or worse, a house fire. Davis Services is passionate about ensuring their customers are safe in their home. That's why they are offering their electrical safety inspection for the low cost of $139. They utilize the latest technology to find potential hazards, including those hidden behind the wall of your home. Call Davis Services today to ensure your electrical service in your home is safe. Call 864-578-9233 today.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Hey, I'm Steffi. You may know me from your social feed. I go big for the holidays, so I'm going to Famous Footwear because the best gifts are giving famous. My friends and family are going to love all these styles from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, New Balance, Skechers, and more. With over 800 stores, you're never far from the perfect gift. So make your list and make it famous. Come in today for buy one pair, get one half off at your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Santa's favorite sports station, that's easy. 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
All right, hour one continues out of bounds. William Quaggin, Sam Jones with you. We are inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a strong connection. It's strong enough that when your daughter wants to watch Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, or Snoopy, she really likes the Charlie Brown stuff right now, that you can still make the quad box work. You make the quad box work on the old iPad while the kid is watching, and you can watch the MAC championship featuring Roy Philpott on the call. You can watch the Big 12 championship. You can watch Iowa State Purdue, and you can watch Duke Michigan State. I had all four of those games on at noon on Saturday, thanks to Upcountry Fiber. Never missed a beat. Upcountry Fiber is a strong connection. Upcountryfiber.com. Let's go to the phones. Delvin is up with us first, and then we'll go to Todd and Easley. 654 Roy, if you'd like to join us. What's up, Delvin?
Look, at least your
Indiana school, you forgot more class than the one that, and you know, the other part of Indiana that tried to ditch the ACC. They should have had his back. You're not in the ACC. You're partially in the ACC, and you think they're gonna go for you over Miami? And then you talking about you doing perfect damage. If I'm Jim Phillips, I'm cutting all ties with Notre Dame. Where you go now? Because you're gonna need us.
You think
we need you?
You know what's funny is I feel like this is a rare occasion where neither side has any leverage at all. Truly, I think neither side has any leverage at all in this situation. And Pete Bavakwa can bloviate however he wants on this, but he has no leverage either at the present juncture. Not in the argument that he just inserted himself into. There's no leverage for Notre Dame there.
Yeah, especially when he said they didn't back him up. What you said, they didn't back you up over Miami?
Yeah, I mean,
it's
truly ridiculous. I'm going to talk about that more later. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but
it's a ridiculous notion.
Congratulations to your Hoosiers, man. Unbelievable season to have. Like, Kurt is a ball coach, man. That's all you can say. He's a ball coach. You know what he's doing. And, you know, you talk about the two more for me was Mendoza taking a shot when everybody thought he was out of the game, got back up, dusted himself off, and came back at it. And then the moment at the end, he threw that pass. Those were the two more that stand out for me because he took that shot. Okay, Ohio State, you got the shot in, but I'm still here and I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, that was and he took a couple. I think he took a couple unnecessary shots later in the game. Kind of popped right back up. Delvin, I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you for my call, though.
Thanks very much. Yeah, that was a big part of the game, I thought. Not that Sayan wasn't tough, because I thought Sayan really hung in there. Like, Sayan made some really good throws, too. But, like, the level of toughness that Fernando Mendoza showed, like, taking that shot in the chops. I mean, I know everybody thought that guy's out. He's down for the count. And got the wind knocked out of him. A rusher that he never saw, I mean, drilled him. Like, clean hit, but drilled him. Right in the sternum. And so, yeah, you're gonna need a minute after that. But then, yeah, coming right back in the game. Texter pointed out the offensive line for Indiana was superb. They were better than Ohio State's offensive line. Indiana's defensive line was better than Ohio State's defensive line. I came into the game thinking that the difference in the game is that Indiana's really, 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 really good, and Ohio State has the best defense in the world. And what I found in the game is that Ohio State and Indiana have similarly very good defenses. And that there were, and it, look, it may just be that, you know, Indiana played great, they called a great game, whatever. A couple plays here and there changed the whole outcome. But the couple short yardage opportunities Ohio State had, they couldn't convert. And they come away twice inside the 10 with no points. And, or inside the 15, I should say, with no points. And then Indiana, you know, the couple chances that they got, they cashed them in. Now, they missed a field goal. But, you know, for the most part, they're cashing in their chances. And they're able to convert some short yardage and do some of those things. Let's go to Todd and Easley, who's up with us next. What's up, Todd?
It's going to take a little shot at the Gamecocks, too.
All right.
Talking about Indiana. They played South Carolina in a bowl game in 1988, and they kept their little winless bowl streak going by beating the Gamecocks in 88 with Anthony Thompson as their lead running back. I can't remember what bowl game it was, but South Carolina was favored, but Indiana dominated the crap out of them.
Liberty Bowl, 1988, 34-10. Yep. Absolutely. MVP was Dave Schnell from Indiana. Good call.
Yep. That's all I got.
Thanks very much, Todd. Appreciate the phone call. All right, let's talk a little CFP because Delvin brought it up. Delvin brought up Notre Dame, and let me just make this very clear point. The way that the committee ended up setting the field, I don't have a large scale problem with. Now, if you asked me who are the best teams right now, the seven best at-large teams, how would you fill the field? Notre Dame would be in for me. But we know that's not really – I mean, what does that mean? So, taking Alabama and taking one of Miami-Notre Dame and the one that you take being the team that won the head-to-head, it's just not that big of a deal to me. In fact, we have been telling you for weeks – that Notre Dame and Miami were not considered separate enough. They were similar enough that it was mind-boggling until yesterday that the committee was not taking into account the head-to-head. I tweeted this out yesterday, Sam, and I believe this, that the committee needlessly and unnecessarily, I really do, I think they have stumbled, much like Penn State, stumbled backwards into a good hire. The committee stumbled backwards into a fine result. It would not have been my result. Using a committee's metric, it would not have been my result. And using the committee's logic, in other places, it would not have been my result. But they stumbled into a fine result because I don't think Notre Dame has an actual football gripe with not getting in. I think they have an argument to get in. I think they have a good argument to get in. But I don't think they have a football gripe to get in instead of Alabama, instead of Miami, based on the way the season played out. I just think it's different strokes for different folks at this point. Because Notre Dame didn't play in a conference championship, and Notre Dame didn't win a head-to-head against one of the other teams. And Notre Dame didn't have a better body of work than Alabama. So, like, at that point, you're just doing eye test stuff. But this is what I said yesterday. This was before the women's basketball game. By the way, nice win for Sean Poppy's team. This is what I said. One, leave out Bama, who lost in a conference title game. Two, leave out Miami in favor of a team it beat with the same record. Three, leave out Notre Dame in favor of a team it believed it was worse than all year with no new data points. Three options, three bad precedents to set. Good luck. That's what I tweeted yesterday. Now, if it were me, Sam, if you're telling me to sacrifice, I got to sacrifice one of these three things. I got to sacrifice basically the dignity of a conference title game. I got to sacrifice a head-to-head record against similar teams, and that being the sort of tiebreaker. Or I got to sacrifice my own logic and reason that I've been using for a month at this point. If you're telling me those are my options, okay? And I've said this many times, that I believe the committee is the keeper, the gatekeeper for college football. Whatever we want to matter in the sport, the committee has to make it matter. So if we want, I think conference championship games are stupid. Look no further than the ACC. We have a laughable system that puts two random teams in a conference championship game for no reason other than we went to the seventh tiebreaker. It is asinine that we even have these. The qualifications for these are stupid. They're ridiculous. Sometimes you end up with a good result. Texas Tech and BYU. Those are the two best teams. Big Ten, Ohio State and Indiana. Those were the two best teams all year long. And sometimes you end up with the fifth best team in the SEC as the one seed. Sometimes that happens. That's stupid. That's really stupid. Like, I'm sorry, that is a stupid system. And you can say, well, that's the best way to decide conference champions. No, it's not. It was when there were 12 teams in a league. Even when there were 14 teams in a league, you could justify it. But the fact that we have no divisions and 18, 17, 15, 16 team conferences all over the fruited plain means that there is no good way to put teams even in a game. You'd be better off flipping a coin between these teams or just letting the playoff committee decide who your best team is and call them the conference champion. These games are laughable. In the system that we have right now with the playoff format, these games are laughable because there's no way to ensure that you actually get your two best teams. And we know that because this year in two of the four major leagues, it was not the best teams. It was not the best teams. We know that. And particularly in the ACC, where it wasn't even close to your best teams. It was one of your middest teams that got in with five losses.
And they won.
And won the league. It's ridiculous.
They won.
So if you're asking me, as the gatekeeper of college football, what thing would you sacrifice? I would say conference championship games. If I got to sacrifice one of those things, I'm leaving Alabama out because conference championship games are stupid.
I'm in a similar vein to you where the overall rankings are probably fine. And I was sitting there watching right before the NFL started yesterday, watching Hunter Yurecek talk about the justifications for everything. And Rhys Davis asks him, why move Alabama, or why not move Alabama and move BYU? And then he got himself into trouble BYU shouldn't be in the playoff. Not a playoff team. That's evident. But you can't say that BYU's performance in the conference championship game mattered and dropped them below Miami, who they were ahead of before, and then say in the same vein, yeah, but Alabama has a 12-game body of work. So we don't care that they didn't really look competitive against Georgia on Saturday. If you would have just not said that, you probably could have gotten away with most of this. But you say that, which is going to make some people mad, and it kind of delegitimizes the whole conference championship argument in either way that you put it. And then my other question is, if you were going to rank Miami over Notre Dame, and I saw Joel Klatt talking about this during the week, and he said, I think they're going to protect the ACC as long as they can here and get Miami in their last minute. Why would you not have just done that before? Why would you not have just done that the last 3 or 4 weeks? There was no reason not to do it. If you're going to do it at the end anyway, and there's no extra data point added that puts Miami over Notre Dame last minute, why would you not have just done this a month ago when the resumes were kind of, or 3 weeks ago when the resumes were still pretty similar? And you had that head-to-head win. It's not like the head-to-head win came in November. It happened week one. We've known about it. It just seems like they waited so long for no real reason here and screwed themselves up. I don't understand those two points of logic from the committee. And maybe they got the right teams in there in the end, and it's a punishment for Notre Dame, I think, for not being in a conference and all that. Notre Dame has sour grapes about it and are being annoying about it, yada, yada, yada. But all of it seemed kind of avoidable to me. If you would have put Miami ahead of Notre Dame the entire way like they were going to do at the end, maybe the criticism wouldn't be quite as loud.
Sam, I've got so much to say about it. So do a lot of you, because we've got callers and we've got texters, and we're going to get to all of you on the other side. 654-ROAR is the number. Hour one continues right after this.
Santa's not the only one working hard this season. At Harbin Lumber Company, their team is busy helping you check every project off your list. Whether you're remodeling, repairing, or just adding a little holiday cheer, they've got everything you need to get it done right. Visit Harbin Lumber, where great service and quality materials come together faster than Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. Visit HarbinLumber.com today, and let's beat Santa's visit and get that project done before Santa and your family arrives for the holiday.
Looking for a smart, cost-saving upgrade for winter? Blue Ridge Heating and Air, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer, has a limited supply of select heat pumps that can qualify for federal tax credits and electric provider rebates, saving you thousands. These heat pump systems offer dependable performance with exceptional efficiency, advanced features, and innovative design. Act fast. Inventory is limited. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air or visit BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, engineered comfort solutions.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
When life hits hard, you need someone who doesn't punt. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramwin Mills Law Firm. Insurance company dragging its feet after a wreck or work injury? We go for it every time. No field goals, no fair catches. You call us and we bring the heat. Go big or go home. Visit us at TramwinMills.com or call 864-485-8585. Fourth and inches, we go for it.
Searching for your dream home? Great Southern Homes is here to make it happen. Whether it's your first house or your forever home, we offer an amazing selection of plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. With endless personalization options and upgrades, you can create a space that's designed to fit your unique taste. From Clemson to Columbia and beyond, we'll help you find the perfect place, whether it's right around the corner or across the state. Discover greatness reimagined and check out our Clemson communities at greatsouthernhomes.com.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
How many times have you told yourself, I'll get that weight loss journey started after the holidays? How many times have you actually done it? Well, everyone says they're going to start after the holidays. It doesn't get done. And that's why PhD Weight Loss is making it easy to start now, before the new year, with 2 free weeks added to your program. That's a 2-week head start, so you're not rolling into January feeling behind. I joined PhD Weight Loss when I was at the busiest season of my year, and I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks, and the transition was much smoother and much better for me than I could have ever imagined. PhD's metabolic reset system taught me to burn fat first without drug starvation diets or endless workouts, and they can do the same for you. When you mention 2 weeks on the phone, they'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no reason to repeat your past mistakes. Call PhD today and start 2026 already ahead at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home, and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold-free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantyconfixit.com.
The Roar. Now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
You ever change your mind about leaving me?
All right, there's one thing, before we go to old school, there's one thing that I do want to say here that I think it is a fun conspiracy theory, but it doesn't make any sense. And I've seen this from some Big 12 corners, and I've seen this from others, that basically because ESPN doesn't have Notre Dame's full contract, that they conspired to screw both Notre Dame and BYU. And the reality is that if the playoff committee was concerned about ratings, that Notre Dame would have been in. Notre Dame is the best rate, like they're the best for ratings. You would figure out a way to not put in Miami before you put in Notre Dame, easily. Which, again, is what I thought they were going to do, because that's what they told us they were going to do for an entire month of rankings and public commentary. They told us, no matter how asinine it was at the time, that that's what they were going to do. And then they just totally decided not to do it because of some third-party nonsense, which we're going to get to that. It's one of the... I think the worst justification I've ever seen for a million-dollar decision. Because that's what this is. These are million-dollar decisions. And there's some people that are going, well, you know, we like the controversy and all this stuff. They're million-dollar decisions. Notre Dame makes the playoff millions of dollars. Now, not millions of dollars. Miami doesn't make the playoff millions of dollars. Then they do, millions of dollars. Duke doesn't make the playoff, they're out millions of dollars. James Madison, millions of dollars. I mean, so you've got millions of dollars on the line with these decisions. This is not just moving some chess pieces without consequence where you can just set the board up and play again. That's not what this is. These are million-dollar decisions. There are athletic department choices that will be riding on whether a committee of people does some sane, logical stuff. Or in the case of Notre Dame slash Miami slash Alabama, does a mixture of sane logical stuff and insane illogical stuff. Let's go to old school. Who's up with us next? 654 Roars. What's up, old school?
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. Very blessed.
Listen, I got the solution for the whole thing this year anyway. Alabama don't belong. Between Alabama and Notre Dame belongs, and Miami. That's just a Georgia's opinion. But after that game on Saturday, I think that if you're going by eye test, if you're going by just wins and losses, this the first three loss team to get in. I think Notre Dame belongs in, but I understand that Notre Dame might be forced to pick a lane. They're riding down the middle of the road right now. They're gonna have to be forced to pick a conference.
You know, I hear what you're saying about Alabama, and I agree with you. Eye test-wise, I think Miami and Notre Dame, and really just the last month of results, I think Miami and Notre Dame are both better than Alabama. The problem is that Alabama has a better resume of wins than either Miami or Notre Dame, including a win at Georgia, who just beat them. So they have a 1-1 record against the playoff team in the SEC. They have a record against Vandy. Notre Dame's best win away from home is at Pitt. That's not even close. I know margin of victory says that Notre Dame should be considered. And listen, I think Notre Dame looks the part way more than Alabama does. But it is also an indisputable fact that Notre Dame was not tested in the way that Alabama was tested in that on big stages. And Alabama's win, the way they played against Vandy, I would argue that they have nice wins against teams that I think have been overrated basically all year in Missouri and Tennessee. But those are nice wins. So I think from a body of work standpoint, I think Alabama has a really good argument, and it's hard for me to argue against that, even as I'm watching them play and going, yeah, this team has way too many issues to be considered viable at this juncture, especially if you're going to exclude either Miami or Notre Dame, who do not appear to have those same issues.
Clark, on Saturday, it was -3 in rushing. Minus three.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
I think Walt shared it. I saw a hilarious, it was a Reddit. It was a SEC teams ranked by rushing yards this week. And it was Georgia 1, everybody else 2-15, and then Alabama last at -3.
Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
I'm glad to get that. I'm glad that Georgia finally got that Alabama curse off their back. I don't think that's going to hold up any longer. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the playoffs. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks very much, Old School. Appreciate the phone call. Here's why. And I've heard some people talk about this. In a 14 playoff era, we dropped teams that lost in their conference championships. In the previous eras, the AP voters even dropped teams in the playoff. But here's what I would tell you, though. If I'm having to choose between, and again, this is the committee did this to itself, okay? The committee did not have to do this, but the committee put themselves in a position where they were either going to have to exclude Miami for Notre Dame and Alabama, even though Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head, they had the same record, and they were in close proximity rankings-wise, and don't even dare tell me that that's based on what BYU did. That is laughably ignorant and stupid, and these are the dumbest people on the planet Earth if that's their defense. It's the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my life. Oh, man, I can't wait to talk about this. They did that to themselves. So, in my opinion, it is okay to say in a 12-team playoff where we have a team like SMU last year that would have been in the field had they not played, and we are taking at-larges to the game. We're taking at-larges. And there's no team that's going to be able to play their way over the top. That's the thing with the 14 playoff. You could argue that, like Georgia, for example, like I know Fax and John were talking about Georgia dropping from 1-6 a few years ago. The reality in that one is that other conferences had teams that had a chance to play their way into those games. Miami and Notre Dame weren't playing. Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss were not playing last year instead of and Miami were not playing instead of SMU. So in a situation where, yeah, you can win or lose and drop because other teams can win and move ahead of you, that's different. But what we're talking about right now is no team below Alabama is winning and moving ahead of them. They're just dropping because they lost an extra game. That just doesn't make sense to me. Okay, I don't think that teams should not be penalized for losing games if they look terrible and all that stuff. But I also don't believe in rewarding teams that didn't play in the game. If we're going to have conference championship games, which I've said are stupid, the way we put teams in them are stupid. It is totally incongruent with the system we have right now. We'd be better off either playing an extra regular season game with an extra bye. Maybe we just have more byes. Or we start the playoff a week earlier and finish the season a week earlier. Imagine that. Fix the calendar a little bit. Do some of that. We could do all of this instead of have these conference championship games that make money for the conferences. Yes, they do. They do. But in terms of putting people into playoff, it's a terrible system. So I think it's a terrible precedent to say that you can play your way out of a playoff berth. in a conference championship game without somebody who is beneath you playing their way in instead of you. That's ridiculous. That's asinine. I don't want that system. That's a terrible precedent to set. So because of that, because I think the committee is responsible as the gatekeeper of the sport for what we prioritize, I'm okay with Alabama being in. Now, I don't think Alabama's one of the best teams, but if the committee said that they were before last week, then I think they have to keep them in. Because Miami did not get better than Alabama this week. And Notre Dame did not get better than Alabama this week. And the same principle applies, which is why this is the worst system that anyone's ever devised. It's the worst committee. You're the worst. The worst ever to do anything, to pick anybody for anything. You have a church committee that you've been on for 7 years that was supposed to make a decision 6 years ago that's better than this godforsaken committee. Sam, this committee decided that BYU should be knocked down for their loss. I'm going to compare these two. This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Alabama, in their game against Georgia, do you know how many seconds they led the game for? Do you know how many seconds Alabama was in front of Georgia in a game? 0 seconds. Sam was doing a zero. Great radio. 0 seconds. Alabama led for 0 seconds. Zero. Not even one. They led for more seconds than he had rushing yards in the game. 0 seconds they led. BYU was ahead of Texas Tech at the end of the first quarter. They were leading the game. They scored first. They were ahead. And then Texas Tech got the ball, and they drove down. They kicked a field goal. And after that drive, BYU was ahead. They were ahead for so much of the game. They led the game for 9 minutes and 16 seconds. That's 9 minutes and 16 seconds more than Alabama led their game. The final scores were 6 points apart. The margins were 6 points apart, and nobody below BYU won and passed them. So how does BYU drop and Alabama not drop? That is ridiculous. That is moronic. My 17-month-old knows you can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. If you thought BYU was 11 and Alabama was 9 and Notre Dame was 10 and Miami was 12 and those results happen, you either have to drop both or neither. But you can't do what they did. And do you know the reason they did what they did, Sam? Is to put Miami ahead of Notre Dame because of some illogical notion that two teams are not the same if another team is separating them. Sam, this doesn't even compute. I'm going to spontaneously combust. This doesn't even compute.
That was the justification that drove me nuts the entire month. Was, well, we can't move. There's a team in between Notre Dame and Miami. Therefore, they are not anywhere near each other.
Do you know what's amazing? And listen, for every member of the committee, I know the entire committee is listening. For every member of the committee, I just want to let you know how this works. Do you realize that the distance between number one and number two in the AP poll is not the same as number two and number three? Do you realize that you can be side by side, like, I wrote one name after another name and not actually be that close? And I can also write one name and then 72 other names and then a 73rd name, and that first name and the 73rd name can actually be close? Why is it that the committee thinks that Notre Dame and Miami are only peers if BYU is not in there? What kind of moronic nonsense is that? That doesn't make any sense. I can't say that three teams are equal. Ah, well, they got to be touching. They have to be touching. And as long as they're touching, then we can do the head-to-head. BS! That is such BS. That is laughable. That would get laughed out of an elementary school near you. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what right now. You better not be teaching your kids this logic. These are millionaires. These are people making millions of dollars. And these people have a hard job. And what they came up with is, well, when BYU played their game, we dropped them down, and gosh darn it, we had to decide whether we were going to take the head-to-head, and we couldn't take the head-to-head when the difference was 2 spots. But when the difference was 1 spot, then we did have to take the head-to-head. What an asinine notion. Miami and Notre Dame are as similar today as they were on Friday. Do you realize that no team that played Miami or Notre Dame actually played last week?
You couldn't even say, well, Miami's resume got a little bump. You couldn't even do that one. No team that played Miami and Notre Dame played. There is not a single way that you could say that either of their bodies of work changed, that either team looks better or worse compared to each other. There's no way you could do it. The committee got to the result that I said they should have been at a month ago, but they did it in the most illogical way that makes me ask the question, what are you even talking about? What are you even doing there? Hour number two is next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.